This is Ed Schoenfeld of Coast Alaska News. I'm in the Raven Radio studios in Sitka. With me are House 2 Democratic primary candidates Lily Herwald and Marco Dapsevich. A separate forum at a later date will have the Republican candidates for House District 2, their incumbent Peggy Wilson of Wrangell and Stephen Samuelson of Petersburg. Voters will choose their party nominees in the August 26th primary. Anyone can vote for the Democratic candidates, but only Republicans can vote in the GOP primary. Details are on the State Division of Elections website. The winners will be on the November 4th general election ballot. We'll have more forums before then. We're broadcasting over KCAW in Sitka, KFSK in Petersburg, and KSDK in Wrangell, who all reach communities in House District 2. We'll be taking your calls in a few minutes via our toll-free number for folks outside Sitka, that's 800-478-5877, or in Sitka, 747-5877, but that'll be a few minutes from now. First, we'll give the candidates who both live in Sitka a chance to introduce themselves and briefly tell us why they're running. Marco Dapsevich goes first.
All right, thank you, Ed. Obviously, I'm Marco Dapsevich. I've lived in Sitka all my life. I'm currently the mayor here in Sitka, just finishing up my second term, and prior to that, served on the assembly for another 4 years. I've always been interested in politics, actually since I was a little kid, and my dad was the mayor here, and I've always found it intriguing, got involved several years back, and I've enjoyed being on the assembly, and I've enjoyed being the mayor, and I'm looking at doing something different right now. I've kind of been locked into staying in Sitka as a single parent, but this year my daughter graduated high school, turned 18, which now makes her an adult, and she's going to take care of herself now, and I can go on and do something that's more about me for a while, and this is something that really interests me and a change in my lifestyle, and so I've decided to pursue State House. I think it's a good opportunity, and I think I can do a good job for the district.
The other Democratic primary candidate, as we said before, is Lily Herwald. Lily, tell us a little about yourself and why you're running.
Thank you for the opportunity, Ed, and for the other stations. My name's Lily Herwald. I've lived in Sitka for 24 years. Currently, I'm employed at the Southeast Regional Health Consortium, SEARCH, and I serve as a grant writer. And I've been fortunate to write $12 million in funded proposals to improve the health care and bring jobs to our region. Before that, I was the general manager of Raven Radio. I served as general manager for 6 years and was employed here at the radio station for a total of 18. And the reason I'm running is my interest in serving my state and my region. The community's given so much to me, and I have the skills and the background that would make me a successful legislator. I'm able to bring people together. I'm committed to fighting for the district in a respectful manner. And I believe that District 2 needs a strong voice and the skills and background to bring people together so our region is not left behind in the legislature. So I believe that I would be the best candidate.
Now, of course, you're running against each other in the August 26th primary, but simply by the act of filing for election, you're letting people know that you want to replace the four-term incumbent, Peggy Wilson of Wrangell. What would you do differently from what Wilson's done the last 4 years, or last 8 years, excuse me? We'll start with Lily Herwald.
Well, I commend Peggy for her long service and her dedication to the state. I know that she has a great heart and she really cares about the people. But many folks talked and encouraged me to run and stated that they were really not satisfied and haven't felt that Peggy has done as much for the district as we need. The fear that our district is being marginalized and we need a stronger advocate. And my experience in writing grant proposals to convince people to invest in our programs and in our community is an example of my strong voice that bears results. And what I would do differently from Peggy is I think what we need to do is really help educate fellow legislators in the state, in the Mat-Su Valley, in Fairbanks, in Anchorage, and let them know that our issues are really important to the whole state. And I believe that I could be a stronger voice.
House District 2 Democratic candidate Marco Dapsevich, if elected, what would you do differently than the incumbent, Peggy Wilson?
Well, first, I'd like to echo Lily's remarks and say that, you know, Peggy's a wonderful gal, and she really has put her heart into the job. I think the one thing that you probably will hear all three challengers say is that it's time to get some strength in Juneau for this district, and I would agree with that. Peggy is, while she works very hard, just really hasn't been as strong as a leader as we need here, and probably in terms of things differently, we need to look beyond just region or district two, and people think in terms of districts. You're there to represent your district, and you're there to represent the state. But more importantly, I think what district two needs is somebody that will represent the region as much as district two, and the region is really suffering down here right now, both economically, population wise. We're looking at probably losing representation in Juneau, and we need somebody over there that's not just going to represent this district, but work with the other representatives from this district to represent the region and bring the things that we need, like the funding for the ferry system and dealing with transportation issues and the additional cost of education and those types of things. And, of course, that's going to involve earning the respect and the building of relationships with the other representatives in Juneau. And I think that's what this district is really going to need, that we've not seen so much. You know, that being said, we might be getting a little ahead of ourselves right now, looking to what's going to happen in the general election. Obviously, only one of us will be there, and we're not even sure that we'll be facing Peggy. But I do want to finish by saying that I do like Peggy a lot, and I do have respect for her. She has put her heart into the job, and I appreciate that.
And a reminder to people who are listening that Peggy Wilson will face Stephen Samuelson of Petersburg in the Republican primary to represent House District 2. And we will be having a forum probably later this month or early in August. The date hasn't been set yet, out of KFSK in Petersburg, that will feature the Republican candidates. The reason we don't have the date yet is Peggy Wilson's in the legislature now, and we don't know when they're going to be done with what they're doing. So it's a little hard to schedule around that. For people who are just tuning in, we'd like to remind you, you're listening to a forum with House District 2 Democratic primary candidates Marco Dapcevich and Lily Herwald, both of Sitka. We're broadcasting in Wrangell and Petersburg, too. We'll open up the airwaves to callers who might have questions. In Sitka, you can call 747-587-7. Callers in Petersburg, Wrangell, Pelican, anywhere else listening outside Sitka, the number is 800-478-5877. While we're waiting for callers, a few more questions from me here. One of you mentioned, Marco, you mentioned the ferry system. Of course, the ferry system's gone through a lot of changes in the last few years. Money's an issue. Routes are an issue. Vessels are an issue. Marco Dapcevich, what do you think should be the main priorities for changes, if any, in the ferry system?
Obviously, funding is a priority. The ferry system is a transportation system, as everybody in this region or district knows, not so much maybe in the rail belt, though we've seen in recent surveys that the majority of the people in the entire state support the ferry systems. And that needs to be a priority, and as people in Sitka know, in my 8 years here, I've worked very hard for that, and we've seen some improvements. I think the main thing is there's a disconnect between the legislature and the DOT and the people that are actually in the communities using the service. I've served on the transportation committee, still am actually, the transportation committee for Southeast Conference, and I've spent many hour pounding on the desk of the commissioner and having meetings and met with the governor, and I actually think that Governor Palin, we probably owe a lot of thanks to for what we've seen here in Sitka with the better service. There's a lot of issues that need to be addressed that really have not been addressed that are creating the problem. Taking the ferry off the Bellingham route and putting it up here was an excellent decision, and it's something that should have been done a long time ago. One of the real issues there is a lot of the people on those ferries coming out of Bellingham are non-paying ferry system employees or retired ferry system employees. And we're still providing the service that we need, and the standby people, I guess, are probably having to stand by a little bit longer on those. But it's a transportation system, and we need to remember that it's a necessity for us, and we need to continue to provide it. continue to work with the DOT, build that relationship, and prioritize the issue of it being transportation year-round rather than an economic thing.
And we'll take a call in just a moment. We do have somebody on the line, but to be fair, I need to give Lily a chance to answer that question. Lily Herwald, what changes would you advocate for the state ferry system, if any, if elected?
Well, I would go back to the need to really establish relationships with other legislators and use the people of our districts whenever they travel to other communities to talk about the importance of this system and help educate them that there aren't many roads in this state that actually make money, and the ferry service is an important feature, and it needs to be funded. I believe we have to really look at the life of the fleet and try to make some replacements to those vessels, fuel-efficient vessels, making sure that there's a reliable schedule, and continuing to try to give more authority and decision-making to that Marine Advisory Board, which at this point doesn't have a lot of that power. So really advocating for our transportation needs and building relationships and educating other people in the state, legislator and other Alaskans.
Okay. Thank you very much. You can call and ask questions at 747-5877 or outside Sitka, 1-800-478-5877. Our first caller with a question for the candidates is Cliff here in Sitka. Go ahead, Cliff.
Hi. Yeah, thank you, and thank both of you. Thanks to both of you for running. I would like to ask each of you what you think about SB 160 and health care reform in general, and I'll hang up now.
Okay. Do you want to give a brief description of the bill you referred to first? I'm afraid we've lost Cliff. Are you folks familiar with that bill?
I can't say that I know the specific ins and outs of that bill, but to talk about health care in general,
sure.
Perhaps Cliff could phone back in if he had more information. I think that
there are a lot of bills out there. It's hard to track them all.
So health care is a very urgent problem, not only in Alaska, but the rest of the state. Health care costs are increasing. There's the need for Alaska to provide quality health care, affordable health care, and equitable health care. There's so many various populations in the state that don't really have access to that. So when we look at the funding that we receive, the Denali Kid Care, I know that there are quite a few people who are slipping through the cracks, that they're not quite making the margin to get that assistance, but there are great challenges, and they have the need. I've been going door to door and talking with people in Sitka and Petersburg, and I hear quite often the importance of an improved health care system for our state. And working as a grant writer at Search, a lot of what I do is document the needs, whether it's the need for clinics in a place like Heidelberg, or if it's the disparity of how many Alaska Natives and rural residents have diabetes, or, of course, larger problems like domestic violence and behavioral health services for people needing alcohol and drug treatment. So there are great needs in our state, and I think we really need to take this time to live up to what we are tasked with, and that is ensuring that all Alaskans have affordable access to quality health care.
Do we have Cliff back to tell us which bill he's referring to? Yes, Cliff, you're on the air. Would you like to tell us which bill that is you referred to?
Yes, SB 160, short title, Mandatory Universal Health Care, an act establishing an Alaska health care program to ensure insurance coverage for essential health services for all residents of the state. I'm reading something I got from the Legislative Information Office.
Okay, that gives us a little more information.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Because as we said, there's lots of legislation out there. And we'll go to Marco in a second. But, Lily, since you were talking about health care issues, how do you feel about the mandatory health care legislation that the caller was referring to?
I would support that. I believe it's important.
Okay. Marco Dapcevich, health care, and specifically this bill we're talking about?
Well, I don't want to get too specific to the bill because I haven't read it, but I will tell you that in general, we need to go in that direction without a doubt. But I think we need to look at more comprehensive than mandatory health care for people that need medical treatment. Obviously, that's something that's there, but I think we need to be more universal than that. Obviously, with the Sitka Community Hospital and all the issues that we've had with that over the years, it's become pretty obvious that that's just not a local trend, but a national trend, and obviously a state trend as well, where it's spiraling. The cost of medical care is going up to compensate for the people who aren't paying, which is creating more people that can't pay, and then the burden is obviously being shifted to the insurance, which is causing an increase in the cost of insurance, whether it's to your employer or to yourself, and it's going to become exponential at some point. It's only going to continue to get worse. I think it's time for Alaska to look very serious at some type of universal health care for all of Alaska. And a lot of people that know me are going to probably going, wow, I can't even imagine that he would be talking about such a thing. But I think Alaska is a perfect example. Obviously, they've been working on that in California, but Alaska's, it's even a bigger opportunity for Alaska. And you hear about the PERS and TERS and the retirement system and the woes that we're facing with that, which is also a priority. But one of the things that you don't hear about is a lot of the cost of that is the lifetime health care that these Tier 1 employees are experiencing. And my dad's an example of that. And here's a guy, and he's going to be 82 here in a couple months. Happy birthday, Dad. But he's got health care paid for by the state of Alaska for life. That would relieve a great burden on that retirement system as an added bonus, as well as providing some type of universal health care. So without saying I support that, and obviously bills obviously finish a lot different than how they start, so you never want to come out in support of a bill in the beginning. It might not be exactly what you're looking at in the end, but without getting too specific to that, I think we need to go much broader and look at universal health care for everyone. And again, I think Alaska's in a prime position to do that.
So it sounds like both our primary candidates here support universal health care and the details and the legislation. Of course, any bill up now will have to be refiled in January, or I guess technically they can be filed a little before that, but the legislature starts up again then. The legislature, of course, is meeting right now, and one of the things they're talking about is plans to help Alaskans cover their high energy and fuel costs. We're wondering here, start with Marco Dapcevich. The governor has proposed basically $1,200 per qualified Alaskan PFD resident, people qualified for the PFD and some other qualified residents would get that. No idea how exactly that's going to go through the legislature, but if you were in the legislature right now, Marco Dapcevich, would you vote for that plan or take another approach to energy assistance?
Well, I'd like to get $1,200, you know, in my bank account as much as the next guy, but I don't know that that's that much of a solution, honestly. It's going to help, you know, certainly it's going to help, but you got to look at it differently. I mean, say, for example, me right now, I'm a commercial fisherman. $1,200 isn't going to go very far at all to help with that. That's going to cover, geez, my last oil bill for that house was $400 and some. So, you know, for me, it might cover 3 or 4 months of heating my home. For somebody else, it might cover a lot more of that. I think the real issue here is shifting focus from trying to alleviate the high cost of oil to more long-term solutions like what we're doing in Sitka right now. We're raising the level of the dam, and we're going to increase our hydro capacity. We're also looking at other things such as wind. Tidal's pretty premature at this point, but it's something in the future that might be looked at. And geothermal's another thing that obviously this region is prime for. I just returned from a seminar up in Anchorage with Alaska Municipal and talking about a lot of this stuff. And fortunately, a lot of the communities in Southeast are hydro, and we don't feel the burden for power generation, but obviously we feel it at the pump and for our boats. You know, we need to look at it. Alaska's obviously an oil-rich state. I think there's got to be a better way to do it than just giving everybody $1,200. It's not a very equitable thing. I think we should look into different employment, different industries, those types of things. And like I said, for the commercial fishermen, I mean, look at the commercial fishermen. That would be a good benefit if you could give them a direct relief for their high fuel costs to go out there and catch fish. There's people that are tied up at the docks right now because it just doesn't make sense to go fishing. you can look at communities with oil-fired electrical generation and look at their schools and give direct relief to the schools that are having the burden of paying these high costs of electricity or oil or those types of things. So I think while we definitely need to focus on some type of relief, I think we need to be more specific in different areas to relieve them, and that would obviously benefit everybody, and maybe even more so than a $1,200 payout.
And we'll go to a caller in just a moment, so please hold on the line. But Lily Herwald, your position on the governor's proposal to give $1,200 to every Alaskan to help with high energy costs or alternative plans?
Right. I think many people are hurting, and they're choosing between buying food and fuel. So I believe, do need a short-term fix. And though it's not perfect, I think this $1,200 is a start for many of the people who really need some assistance. Would I like to see us evaluate it after a year's time? Absolutely, and come up with the most effective way. I think the problem with it is money is going to people who may not really need it, and that I don't ever like that type of a giveaway. But really, we don't have the luxury of not acting. That people need help right now. I think the fuel tax relief is another help. I think we need to reevaluate that. And absolutely, what is our plan for the long term? It's developing our renewable energy sources. The second phase of Blue Lake, raising the dam, is very important. We have looking for the funding for that at this point. And also looking out to developing new hydro in the Sitka area with the Tecats, and really exploring the intertie that connects Petersburg to Cake, and doing that in an environmentally sound way. So I think that we do have that opportunity to look at geothermal, tidal, wind power, and most importantly here in Southeast is our abundant hydro, and using our surplus fossil fuel revenues to invest in that, and also to encourage all Alaskans to do their part and conserve, and perhaps use, if you find yourself in a position of getting that money, doing what you can to weatherize your home and improve the efficiencies. Being proactive that way, I think, is an important thing, rather than just spending it on other luxury items, perhaps.
You're listening to a forum with House District 2 Democratic primary candidates Marco Dapcevich and Lily Herwald. You can call in with your questions. If you're in Sitka, call 747-5877. If you're in Petersburg, Wrangell, Pelican, or anywhere else, you can call 1-800-478-5877. We'll go now to a call from Lisa in Sitka. Lisa, you're on the air. Do you have a question for the candidates?
Hi, yes, I do. My question is about economic development. And I guess first to Marco, just as mayor, you seem to have an economic development philosophy of no spending, in that you voted against a lot of things like moving forward with low-income housing, the roundabout, which would have brought some state money for the sewer, helping out Sheldon Jackson, raises for city employees, and I think sort of against construction of some major public facilities. And I'm just wondering how that philosophy is going to translate at the state house level for you, and how you kind of think that's going to work when you're, more at the state level. And then I guess, my question for Lily would be, what is your economic development philosophy?
The question, I think, first went to candidate Marco Dapcevich. Go ahead.
Yeah, that sounded like a little bit of a loaded question there. Obviously, each one of those things, they all are different issues, and they have their own merits. For example, I didn't vote against affordable housing. I voted against the proposal for affordable rentals because I was in support of affordable homeownership. And there's two sides to every story. I'm not going to get into each one of those. But in terms of economic development, I mean, there's two sides that you can look at. There's not spending as much money. In other words, if local municipalities spend less money, obviously the burden on the local residents is less. In terms of, say, less infrastructure for the water department means a lower monthly water bill, which in turn puts more money into the the consumer's pocket, which allows them to spend, which creates economic development. I think I've been very pro-economic development in a lot of areas in Sitka. I don't believe that necessarily spending money on a fitness center would be economic development. I think that would be more in terms of providing a service. And again, that has its merits, pro and con, and that'll be back before us here in November. So I think there's two sides. Now, at the state level, it's a whole different ballgame. Because part of your job at the state level is to bring money into your district and into your communities, and that's important. That's the function of the state. Without municipalities, we don't really need a state, right? I mean, they're there to provide for the municipalities, and municipalities are there to provide for the residents. It's kind of the food chain in government. So the job in Juneau is to bring those dollars into your district and the communities in that district. So you have to advocate for that. Now, on the other side, there's obviously a lot of state spending that is more state-related. We need to spend less money in terms of state government so that we have more money that we can provide to the communities in the district. And I've always been very big on not growing government and decreasing the cost of government by increasing efficiency. And I think anybody out there can look and say, there's waste in government, and my goal as an elected official has always been to continue to provide the same level of service by and reduce the cost of government through efficiencies, and I think we've made some steps in that here in Sitka, and I think we need to bring that philosophy to the state level so in turn we can bring more revenue to the communities through the state.
And Lily Herwald, your opportunity to talk about economic development priorities and how you would pursue that in the district?
I think that the state must develop our current infrastructure, whether we just discussed our hydropower, our ferries, our transportation system, our education system as well. That's an important component on why people would come and choose to live in Sitka, having affordable health care. Those are some of the things that I look at as infrastructure. Maintaining economic development, we need to look at the industries that we currently have in Southeast Alaska, our fisheries. We need to make sure that we take care of the resource at all costs and that people learn to live within putting the resource first as it's mandated by our Constitution. And there's enough fish for everyone. We have to ensure that Department of Fish and Game is well funded to do the research and support that well-managed fishery. I think other fishery-related economic development projects, developing our dive and mariculture fisheries could be a way to increase jobs and bring money into our communities. We need to really look at maybe on a regional basis, not maybe on a regional basis, but definitely for us within Southeast to pool together our strengths. When I came to Southeast in 1985, I had a sense that there was much more the relationship between Wrangell and Petersburg and Sitka. And I think we need to go back to that and really strategize how can we work together to maximize efficiencies and come up with those types of solutions. Perhaps it's marine services for rather than the fleet going down to Ballard, what can we do to spread those services southeast to keep that money happening here? And quality of life. I think that that's an important aspect. I know many of the friends and the people that I talk to, the reason they live in this area is because of the sense of community and because of the beautiful spot and your opportunity to really make a difference. If you care about an issue, you can really get involved and do something. And I think we do have to look at those quality of life issues. And what is it that we need in a community that will keep other people? Because we do have a declining population base in Southeast Alaska, and that's a real challenge for us. So how do we get other people choosing to come raise their families here? We need good-paying jobs, and we need that community infrastructure, things like libraries and opportunities to performing arts centers where it's feasible and sustainable. So I think that that's a real important aspect. How I would go about doing that, I think that goes back again to my ability to bring people together. As part of creating Coast Alaska in the mid and late 1990s, we had a lot of it was a hard decision to try to give up the way business had been going for these radio stations. And we really talked through the debate, we listed out the pros and cons, and we came together and had consensus. And I think it's skills like that, bringing people together, hearing what they have to say, making some compromises, and then implementing the project that you have. As much as it's important for us to contain costs, it's also very important for us to seize opportunities and to grow where we can. And that it takes a brave person and a brave district, and I think Southeast is there.
We have another caller on the line for our House District 2 Democratic primary candidates. Karen, you're on the air. Karen from Sitka is calling.
Yes, I'd like to reiterate that I am from Sitka, but I am concerned about the regional approach that both candidates have been talking about and how we achieve that if both our senator and our representative come from the same community.
Lily Herwald, would you like to address that first? Does it make sense for both the area's senator and representative to be from Sitka?
You need to select the most dynamic, the person that is the best for that job of legislator. I think it's important to be able to hear the concerns and understand the issues that face all of our communities, and that would require me going to those communities as much as I can, staying involved on a regular basis during the legislative session, having an open calendar where people can access me very easily, do that through respectful dialogue, through building those relationships and really bringing people together. So I think that that we could do that in Southeast by having two people from the same town if they're the right people, and that's the most important aspect.
Candidate Marco Dapsevich, your answer to the question?
Thank you. That's actually a good question. I guess mathematically speaking, it would stand to reason that your probability of having your representation from Sitka is much larger than anywhere else. But I don't think it really matters what community your representative is from. I think, as Lily alluded to, it matters who's in the job, who's going to do the job. What's good for the region is good for each community in it. If I was elected, I wouldn't represent Juneau. But what's good for Juneau is good for Sitka. What's good for Petersburg is good for Wrangell. And I think anybody who's in that position ought to be able to recognize that. Right now, we've got a senator from Sitka, and we've got a representative from Wrangell. I've been mayor here for almost 4 years, and never once has the representative from Wrangell contacted me when she's been in Sitka about business. The only time I've ever met with her is when I fly to Juneau to meet her. So is that good for the region? It might be good for Wrangell. It might be sort of good for Petersburg, but it's not good for Sitka. What you need is a representative that's going to go to each community and talk to the people, talk to the elected officials who obviously represent the people, and bring that back to Juneau when they make their decisions. You know, if we have 24/7 ferry service to Sitka, and I come back to Sitka and go, ooh, look what we've done. I mean, that's not good. That's not any better for Sitka than it is for Petersburg and Wrangell, because it doesn't service the whole region. And maybe that's a poor example, but the bottom line is you have to support the whole region to support your community. So favoritism to your community is really not going to be to the benefit of your community. So look at your candidates, look at your four candidates, and figure out who you think is best going to represent the region in general, because that's much larger than each community in the district.
I'd like to remind our listeners that this is a forum with House District 2 Democratic primary candidates Marco Dapsevich and Lily Herwald. The Republican primary candidates will appear in a later forum on these public radio stations. You can call 747-5877 if you're in Sitka, if you're in Petersburg or Wrangell, 1-800-478-5877. Of course, the same is true for other outlying communities in House District 2. We are sitting in a studio in Sitka. We've just been talking about Sitka and its relationship to the other communities. I've been hearing from Petersburg and Wrangell that they haven't seen a whole lot of action in the Democratic side of the primary. So let's talk about what you folks are doing as candidates to reach out to communities outside of Sitka. Lily, do you want to start with that one? And the answer may be lots, and it may be nothing at all. So tell us what's going on there.
Right. I did have the good fortune of taking two trips to Petersburg, one to attend their annual Chamber of Commerce meeting where I met with the mayor, the chamber director, with the city manager, with a tribal board member, and various other community people to really learn about what are the issues that are impacting life in Petersburg right now. I also went for the Little Norway Festival, had a chance to be on a call-in with on the radio station, and had a chance to set up a booth and meet people as I came by, again, to hear what the concerns are. And what's encouraging is that it's similar concerns. It's our improved ferry service. It's developing our hydropower. It's ensuring that education is well-funded and that our children have good quality schools. It's about health care. So I am looking forward to more trips to Petersburg, and unfortunately haven't been to Wrangell in this capacity yet, but anticipate going as soon as I can.
Marko Dapcevic, any campaign plans or trips already to the southern part of the House District 2?
Yes, well, for Petersburg, Wrangell, and all the other communities, don't feel neglected, because I really haven't been doing much in Sitka here either. I'm not much of a campaigner. I don't know. To me, this isn't about a popularity contest. Obviously, you got to win the popularity contest to get elected, but it's about going there and doing a job. And I think first of all, you know, the voters have a responsibility to educate themselves about who they're voting for. I can tell you anything you want to hear. I can tell you that I'm going to, you know, support everything you support, and go tell your neighbor I'm going to support otherwise. You need to go out and look at the record and the history in the background of the candidates that you're going to support. And I think obviously a local election is different than a district election, but that's what's gotten me reelected in this town. And, you know, when I ran for assembly, my reelection bid for assembly, I spent $5 on my campaign. That was my total campaign budget. And I had to pay the Sitka Sentinel $5 for them to take my picture to include in the paper. So it's not about ignoring Wrangell and Petersburg. I will be going down there. I'll be hopefully visiting each and every community in the district, not just to do the campaigning thing, but just it'll be nice to see some of these communities that I have not been to. For example, Port Alexander, I'm really looking forward to getting down there. I'm looking forward to getting back to the other communities. I think that's the only community in the district I haven't been to, but... Yeah, that's kind of my thing. I did actually just get started on my campaign in terms of I got my website up. I ordered my bumper stickers and my signs and all that kind of stuff. And I'll get it rolling. But, you know, right now I do have other obligations that I have to meet. I have to go out there and I have to fish so that I can pay my high oil bill. And I still have to do my job as mayor here. And I'm not going to be... McCain or Obama and walk away from that responsibility so I can hit the campaign trail full time. That might cost me a little bit, but you know that's the responsibility that I've taken on, and I'm going to meet that responsibility, and I will work towards more outreach to these other communities, and you'll be seeing me, and I'm looking forward to it.
We'd like to remind listeners you're listening to a forum with House District 2 Democratic primary candidates Marko Dapcevic and Lily Herwald. An issue for Petersburg and Wrangell and a few other communities in the area recently has been efforts to develop hydro in the area by a private company. A company from Bellingham, Washington is working with Wrangell and Cake to develop hydro power plants in Thomas Bay on the mainland north of Petersburg. Do you support private industry developing Southeast's energy sites, or should that be a government responsibility, either operated and set up by the state or by local officials or some consortium? Let's start with Marko Dapcevic.
I think that can go either way. I think in a lot of areas the private industry can provide a service better than or more efficiently than government. I think you have to be very careful. You know, Sitka had a very unique opportunity when we built one of our dams where the state would have built it for us and then owned it and operated it, and we said no. We said, no, thank you. We will bond it. We'll take on that responsibility ourselves, and we will own it and operate it. And through good local government, we've been able to control that infrastructure, control our rates, and we have some of the lowest rates, in the country. And I think that's in large part to the foresight and ongoing responsibility that this local government has taken in providing our utilities. So, yeah, we've done well, but that doesn't mean that the state's going to do well for us. Obviously, we thought we could do better, and I think we have done better. Clearly, private enterprise may be able to do much better than state as well. So be careful what you're getting into, but like with any other venture. But, yeah, I you should never look away from that. In terms of the government having a responsibility, the state government, yeah, the state government does have a responsibility to provide basic infrastructure, and utilities are basic infrastructure. So they should strive to provide that at the lowest cost and the most efficiency as possible. And if somebody can do it better, the state, rather than stand on principles, needs to step aside and say, you can do a better job, you do it.
Lily Herwald, what about the idea of private sector versus public sector development of hydropower, particularly in the Thomas Bay area?
Yeah, it's a challenge. I know it seems that it's a divisive issue between the two communities. In my visit to Petersburg, I had understood that many people were more supportive of the idea if it could be owned, developed, and maintained by the city. And certainly Rangel's recent decision to go into a contract with Cascade Creek has been a challenge between the two communities. I don't think that you can say it can never be private enterprise or it always has to be government or community funded. I think that the communities have to make that decision among themselves, and whether they submit applications and the best proposal will come forth. And that through the due diligence of looking at the qualifications of the people, the long-range sustainability, and I'm big on plan. So I think that that application would come with a very detailed plan.
I'd like to remind people you can call in and ask questions of the candidates. The number for Petersburg and Wrangell, 1-800-478-5877, and the number in Sitka, 747-5877. Taking a step back here on kind of the larger issue of the elections, we have a legislature which has been for many years dominated by Republicans. There's a Republican head of the Senate and head of the House. The House, which both of you are running for, has a Republican majority that's pretty strong. And our governor's a Republican. So the question, and we'll start with Lily, is why are you a Democrat? And how do you think being a Democrat could help the district?
Well, I think that Southeast has had a great history of having representation from both parties, certainly with Ben Grusendorf in the House and Dick Eliason in the Senate. We had both men in great leadership positions, and the issues that faced Southeast Alaska were well represented. Those people worked; those two worked well together. I think that's the important aspect as well. As a Democrat, I feel that I have a great working relationship with Bert Stedman. I know he has a challenger who's not all that active in campaigning, but I feel that I could work very well with Bert for the needs, and that would create a balance. I think that Alaskans are less concerned, for the most part, if there's an R or a D behind your name, but what you're able to do, if you're able to bring people together, convince them of our important needs and our ideas, and then going through and making sure that they're sustainable, that they can be evaluated and improved upon. And that's more important than party classification. I identify with the Democratic platform very much so. I had the opportunity to attend the Alaska Democratic Convention in Palmer a few months ago, and in reviewing that platform, and I do believe that the role of state government is to provide the health, safety, and education and the well-being of Alaskans, that we need to support Alaska human and resource development, the support of Alaska private-owned businesses, responsibly developing our natural resources and maintaining the stocks and the resources for all Alaskans, but not just necessarily for the best interest. Certainly maintaining our rural status and priority is important. And then the quality of life through clean and healthy environments. These are some of the platforms that resonate with me and why I was drawn to be a Democrat.
Marko Dapcevich, why run as a Democrat in what's largely a Republican state and a Republican district?
That's probably the number one question I've been asked since I filed. And it's probably going to be an interesting answer. I actually have been undeclared all of my life since I was 18 till I was 38. And late last year, I became a Democrat and then shortly thereafter filed for office as a Democrat. And it was a very tough decision for me because obviously I'm perceived by a lot of people as a Republican because I'm very conservative when it comes to fiscal issues, and I've had a lot of my longtime Republican supporters and friends somewhat upset or even offended by that. I also associate myself with the Democrat in terms of a lot of the more social types of things. I see myself as pretty socially liberal, but very financially conservative. Where do you draw the line? I don't know. I think part of the factor was watching all the Republicans go to jail, and that might have weighed a little bit into the decision. And also, my father was a Democrat, and he was a different kind of Democrat. He was old school Democrat, which I think is a more conservative Democrat, and I think that was pretty good justification and reason in my mind to become a Democrat. So that's how I got to be a Democrat. In terms of a Republican state and a Republican Senate and House, you know, so what? I've met with the governor and we've talked issues and we've worked with not just local, but even state issues. We've talked about things. And you know what? I don't remember her ever asking me if I was a Democrat. And I think that's a good thing. I think it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. John Harris was here for Alaska Day, and we sat and had dinner and talked for about 3 hours. And he spent the whole time telling me that I really should be a Republican. I hadn't filed for office at that point and had not even picked a party yet. But it was a good conversation, and we talked about other things. I don't think that's going to change if I go to Juneau as a Democrat. And I don't think my votes are going to be as affected by what party I am or what party sponsors the idea as to the merits of the proposal that we're talking about. That's more important. If, you know, bipartisan coalitions or whatever, that's all fine. But a lot of that's just games. And I think a lot of the problem that we're facing in this nation, as well as this state, is a direct result of bipartisan politics. It's time to put that aside. I mean, do we really need to spend more time fighting about whose idea it was and whether or not we're going to vote for it because of its Republican bill or a Democratic bill? Or is it time just to go and get the bill done if it's a good idea, or get rid of it if it's a bad idea? And I think at the state level, we really don't need to be playing those games. And for the most part, the folks that I've talked to, you know, in the House and the Senate, it's not that much of an issue. I think I've got a good working relationship across the table with Republicans as well as Democrats, and that's what the job's about.
We have a couple questions from callers. Two callers on the line. Please hold on. We have Elizabeth in Sitka. Elizabeth, you're on the air. Your question for the candidates.
Yes, I'm being quite concerned about Swan Lake, which is being simply swallowed up by water lilies. And I know that our Senator Stedman has tried twice to get funding to drain it and to get rid of this pest, but it's been vetoed by the governor. And it's just a shame for us to lose this beauty spot. I realize it isn't as life and death as some of these matters have been discussing, but it is one of the beauties of Sitka, and I think we should make every effort to preserve it. Thank you so much.
Candidates, Lily Herwald, anything you'd try to do about Swan Lake in Sitka?
Well, I would I need to learn more about the whole project. I have to say that I don't know the cost of the project and the dredging and trying to get that, so I would need to become more up to speed. It certainly is a valued destination spot in our community. I know that the money has been vetoed. And as a legislator, you really have to look at the priority needs of the district and rank them. And it's great that it made it onto the list. I think developing that relationship with the governor is important, and there seems to have been some confrontation with votes that have gone the other way by Peggy Wilson and Bert Stedman. I think having someone who can establish a new relationship with the governor is important, and I'm committed to doing that.
All right, and our next call is Cindy in Sitka. Cindy, your question for the candidates?
Well, the candidates have just been talking about the challenges of being a Democrat in the Alaska State House, and I'm wondering if they might elaborate. What about your leadership style will make you an effective representative? And I'll take the answer off there.
Okay. Marco Dapsevich, you want to start out on that one?
You want me to talk about Swan Lake or the...
I'm sorry. Did I give you a chance to answer Swan Lake? It's late in the day for me. Go ahead first with Swan Lake quickly, and I apologize.
That's quite all right.
And then we'll answer this question.
Okay, very well. Swan Lake has been a project in Sitka, and we put local dollars into it and a lot of effort, and we've obviously worked with the state to try and get money too. And I think, as Lily pointed out, there's other things at play here. First of all, when it comes to budgeting and appropriations, priority is the issue. And that's one of the things that causes so much conflict is what's important for Jim might not be so important for Jill. And that's one of the things that's important when you vote for people or you look at their record and you see what their priorities are. Now, I have supported Swan Lake at the local level with the work we've done there. And I would continue to support it at the state level. Now, clearly, that doesn't mean that something might come in front of that, and it might fall just outside of the money. But more importantly, as Lily also pointed out, is the relationships that you have with the governor when it comes to the red pen, and I don't want to trash talk Bert. Geez, I'm not even running against him, so what's the point of that? But that's not a good relationship. When you're out there and you're publicly disagreeing with the governor, you know, as he has over the veto issue in particular, you're not making friends and you're not getting support. You have to make friends and get support to even be listened to. And I think that's something that needs to be worked on right there. And it's something... you know, the veto pen from last year was something the governor and I spoke about specifically, and I agreed with a lot of her vetoes, and if I was in her position, I would do the same thing. But I think maybe we got a little carried away for Southeast. In terms of the second question, leadership styles and whatnot.
And if we could get a quick answer, because time's running
okay,
short.
Okay, very well. You know, obviously, you can look at my leadership style and decide whether you like it or not. That's the bottom line. You have to be firm, you have to be tenacious, and you can't irritate people is the bottom line. You have to be able to work with them. And at the end of the day, whether you agree politically or disagree politically, you still need to be able to shake hands, walk out of there, and have a relationship between the two. And I think that's one of the things that's missing there. So, so that's what it is.
Okay. Lily Herwald, the leadership question, a quick answer.
I have a professional demeanor. I look to respect people through all course of debate and dialogue. I have the ability to work with people from a wide variety of backgrounds, whether it's bipartisan. As a general manager here, we represented all different viewpoints and voices, and it was important to bring them onto the air. The urban-rural experience with bridging that gap by working on Alaska Public Radio Network and serving as the president of APRN. We have to meet the needs of rural and urban Alaska when it comes to public broadcasting needs. I think it's important that in order to be respected, I believe you can be respected if you fight hard and advocate hard for your district, and that's what I would do. But if you must be respectful to get consensus. A legislator's job is a lot like the job I have as a grant writer, and it's interesting that I think that. But basically, the legislator, you must determine the needs. You look at the data, you see what the important issues are, who the problem exists for, and then you do the research and really learn both sides of the issue. And then you bring stakeholders together who have various points of view, and you take those into consideration and in your attempt to build consensus. But sometimes you build consensus, but you must always hold true to your core value, to your goal, and to your objective. And also then you have to be good at convincing others that your program or your idea is important. You have to build support for us. It's not just a matter of who talks loudest or longest, but what is the reasonable debate, bringing various viewpoints in. And that's my leadership style, is empowering people, getting as much information, making reasonable decisions, and then I go back to evaluating and making sure they're sustainable.
We're about out of time, but we're going to take one more quick call with real quick answers. Dawn from Petersburg, you're on the air. You have a quick question?
Yes, thank you. I have a comment. I think that perhaps the candidates could express some knowledge here about the power issue. There's a bigger issue at stake here. Petersburg currently is not in a borough. And the long, far-reaching concern that I have is 10, 15, 20 years down the line, these power companies from the lower 48 filing development claims on all the potential hydropower in this area, and then shipping the power potentially down south, or just waiting for larger companies to purchase. Yes.
We're almost out of time, so please state your question quickly.
Well, I'd just like them to comment on how are they going to prevent these larger power companies from filing claims on the local potential power development areas and then shipping the power down south or charging us exorbitant rates. How are they going to control those out-of-state power companies?
Okay, thank you very much. Sorry to rush you. Lily Herwald, would you like to give me a one-minute answer to that question, if you can?
I believe that as a legislator, it's hard for me to know the regulating and not allowing public enterprises to do that. I would like to support locally owned and developed projects if they pencil out, and to work with the communities to develop that proposal and to make it as competitive as possible. And I believe also that it is important to keep, you know, when we develop that power within the state, for it to be used by Alaskans.
Marco Dapsevich?
Yes, thank you for the question, Don. And I'm not sure, but I think it is going to take a legislative fix. I think it's something that we need to address. It may be something that needs to be done at the federal level as well. We've actually just moved forward with looking at another hydro project here so that we could get first dibs. And we shouldn't have to, as a municipality or a borough, you shouldn't have to move first to get first dibs. You should be first in line for that. So it is something that we need to look at legislatively, and like I said, we just said dibs and we're moving in on it, but I don't know if that's a state fix or a federal fix, but we need to address it because while private enterprises may be the best option, municipalities and boroughs should have first option.
Thank you very much, Marco Dapsevich, Lily Herwald, and the KCAW studios in Sitka. You've been listening to a forum with Democratic candidates for House District 2. Republican candidates will be featured in a later forum. Thank you very much for our callers, and if you called and couldn't get in, sorry, but we'll try to do it next time. Thank you very much for listening. This is Ed Schoenfeld. This has been a production of Coast Alaska News and Raven Radio in Sitka.